Sometimes you get those days where you just feel tired. And you feel like, I'm not sure I'm any use at all. And you get that kind of time where it's hard to perhaps do anything. And you find yourself strangely open to procrastination. Not necessarily that you do nothing. You might do many useful things. You might do the first two items on the to-do list very well, but never quite make it to number three, which you know actually is the one that's important, when number one and two were just useful. Sometimes, maybe if you're like me, you find days where perhaps vision and energy is gone, and you just rather shut yourself away. Whether you're following Jesus or not, perhaps you can find yourself on days where you feel something of that way. And the strange thing about those days, of course, is that actually our ability hasn't changed. Our skills and our experience, they're still there. The opportunities that we have, they're still there. It's just something a bit different has gone wrong. We lack inspiration. We lack energy. And if anything, it can only get worse the more that we're kind of aware of some kind of pressure upon us. If you're following Jesus, we can often feel this kind of pressure that somehow we should be active and achieving and positive, and we'll spiritualize it as fruitful. And we have those times when we feel that we're not. Today, as Gillian's already told us about, is Pentecost, and helpfully reminded us already about the disciples sitting around in Acts chapter 2. There's another time when Jesus appears to the disciples and also gives them something of the Holy Spirit. We won't get into the theology about how we understand and compare and contrast this with what happens in Acts, but I just want to read you a few words from John chapter 20. This is after Jesus has died and has risen from the dead. Acts chapter 20 from verse 19. On the evening of the first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." We won't get into the detail of how we place that with what happens in Acts. But the interesting thing I notice is that there's some strange similarities between those two moments as to what's going on in the life of the believers. Firstly, both times we read about them and in Acts, and they're together. The disciples have gathered together and are meeting together. It's good to be together. It's good that we've got an opportunity to gather together tonight and to share with one another and to sing and to worship together. And it's lovely to be able to do that as well with others who come from other churches and fellowships around. It's good to be able to come and do that together. Both times we read about them, they were gathered together, but something wasn't quite right. Gillian's already helped us think about Acts chapter 2. We read about them being kind of together, but not quite going, not quite getting going yet. The inspiration wasn't there. Something hadn't happened. They were waiting. This was titled in the order of the different groups of songs. This was the waiting section of songs. We were waiting. And there's something there about what they were doing. They were waiting. Of course, in John, it's even clearer what's going on. We read about them. They were scared. They'd locked themselves away in a room. They were scared about what happened to Jesus, and what might happen to them. They're afraid of the Jewish leaders and what they might come and do. Maybe for you it's been hard to come here tonight. Maybe for one reason or another it's been difficult. Maybe you came here with that kind of thinking, well, I'll just get there, and I know something of when I get there it will be worth it, that I'll feel glad that I did make the effort. Maybe however you came feeling this evening, maybe in one way or another you might have struggled with the songs that we've been singing. Maybe they're not as familiar as they are to some from certain Sunday school years and generations. I won't dig that hole any further. Maybe you find yourself in that place of not feeling anything. or finding it hard to worship with these songs. Maybe you find yourself doubting, questioning, waiting, not really sure what's going on. If you're in that place as we gather together, then actually you find yourself in good company with the disciples as they gather together in these two places, questioning, doubting, afraid, waiting, unclear, not knowing what's going to happen. And yet, of course, this group of people had so much to offer, didn't they? This is the group of people who'd been with Jesus. This is the group of people who'd seen him perform amazing miracles. This is the group of people who'd been there with Jesus when he prayed. This is the group of people who were taught by Jesus personally, who got away with him, who had this one-to-one time with him. What we give to just hear from them, be able to talk with them about what it was like to be with Jesus, to share the Last Supper with him, to have witnessed those moments. And yet here they are, waiting, afraid, stuck. And the great news is that when they get together and they're in that place, that's when God shows up. They're there locked away in a room, afraid, and Jesus shows up in their midst. They're there gathered together in Acts chapter 2, and that's when Jesus' Holy Spirit comes and meets with them. Suddenly, he's there. Jesus, who's ascended into heaven, sends his Spirit to his disciples. And then something changes. Everything changes. We get Pentecost kind of vividly described in Acts chapter 2. There's this violent wind, tongues of fire, speaking in different languages. This incredible, powerful, shocking experience that leaves them amazed. In John, we read of how they're overjoyed at seeing Jesus. The Spirit transforms where they were, transforms their circumstances and their situation. But the notable thing about what goes on in both times is not just that the Spirit, that Jesus appearing, that Jesus sending his Spirit has this kind of change, but actually the purpose of that transformation. John records Jesus saying to his disciples, "As the Father has sent me, so I am sending you." And then he breathes on them the Holy Spirit. It's a powerful statement of the mission that Jesus was giving. Not just to go and tell people about me, but in the same way that Jesus was sent, he was telling his disciples, us, those who follow him, that he was sending us. That in the same way as Jesus left heaven to come to earth, we were sent in the same way. We're to lead people to Jesus. We're sent in the same way as Jesus, who humbled himself, even though he was God, humbled himself even to death on a cross. It's with that mission in mind that Jesus says, receive the Holy Spirit. And of course, in Acts, we've already heard earlier on Jesus say to them that they'll receive the Holy Spirit to go and to be witnesses. And then in Pentecost, we see the reality of that. It's not quite clear in the story exactly how they end up from having been in a house together to suddenly being surrounded by people and Peter preaching kind of the first evangelistic sermon since Jesus has died. They suddenly make this progression. It's this natural move on from having been filled with the Holy Spirit to going and sharing what's happening. They're driven out to the people and a crowd is attracted to come around them. This was the purpose and the power of the Holy Spirit at work, that the Spirit transforms them for witness. My son Caleb, who's 8, was given some homework for half term, and he was given a whole variety of things that he might do over half term. That was last week, and he could look at a different number of things. But one of the things he could look at was extreme weather, and so he chose to look at tornadoes. And he's been busily putting together a little PowerPoint presentation about tornadoes. And the interesting thing about tornadoes, bear with me, is that you can't fully understand them. Although he's found out some interesting facts and stuff, people don't know exactly why it is that tornadoes form. You can't exactly map them out. And, you know, although we think tornadoes that happen in America, they can happen absolutely anywhere. 3/4 of them happen in the States, but actually it turns out they seem to not be restricted in where they can form. You can't simply reduce it down to a list of diagrams and charts. You read about the Holy Spirit here being described as a rushing wind, something that actually we can't reduce down to a bunch of theological descriptions and academic understanding. When it comes to the Holy Spirit, it seems that perhaps what's more important is not our understanding, but that we allow God to come and fill us with his Spirit. The most important thing is that we look to be filled. That rather than seeking to track the Spirit in maps or in charts, it's to get out in the wind, to allow him to sweep through our lives, our hearts, our imagination, our powers of speech even, and transform us into a lifeless, listless believer, to someone whose heart is on fire with the love of God. So invite God, as we continue to sing, to come and transform you again with his Spirit. If you're a believer, if you're following Jesus, that you come and that he would renew you once again. If you've never invited God into your life, ask him to come and to make you new like only he can. If Pentecost today is just about getting together and singing some songs together, then actually we've missed the point. The purpose, what we celebrate today, as we seek to be filled with the Spirit, the power of the Spirit is given to transform us to go and be witnesses for him. We have a gospel to take and to share with a world that desperately needs it. And as we continue to sing, we'll be reminded of that gospel. And let's ask God to empower us with his Spirit, that this evening might be about so much more than just singing.